Oh, Lord, please bless our country. You know, that's actually a pretty easy and sterile prayer to pray because it doesn't involve us. It's harder to pray, please bless my country through my honest taxpaying, my volunteerism, my obedience to traffic laws.
Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenneth Richards. With yesterday being National Day of Prayer here in the United States, and with many of our Canadian listeners joining in, I'm sure, Lonnie's been sharing a series entitled, If My People Will Pray. We'd like to mail to each of you a gift book entitled, Prayer on Target by longtime television minister George Vandeman. Here's our address, Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Now, let's return to Lonnie for today's message. It's easy to pray for the USA.
We had kind of a bittersweet experience happen to a great friend of the Voice of Prophecy a few weeks ago, right here in Southern California. Our Canadian listeners will recognize the name of Bill Kuster, a beautiful Christian man, 87 years old, who's participated, if you can believe this, in the Los Angeles Marathon for a number of consecutive years. Now, even at that slightly senior age, he crosses the finish line every single time and has gotten quite a bit of newspaper recognition for his achievement. In fact, sometimes he's the only man in his age division, so he's guaranteed to come in first, which is great. Well, this year, the 11th annual running, they changed the course. And with our complicated maze of Los Angeles freeways, somehow Bill Kuster and his party didn't make it to the new starting line on time. In fact, things were so turned around that he ended up missing the race altogether. Now, today, friend, is the day after the National Day of Prayer that we've been promoting, really, for the past 2 weeks here on the Voice of Prophecy. And all this week, we've been looking at the topic of prayer itself, especially corporate prayer, group prayer, national prayer. And the Lord has wonderfully blessed our study time together. But here's why I brought up our friend Bill Kuster. If you somehow missed our broadcast all week and maybe didn't ever stumble onto the good news that yesterday, May 2, 1996, was the National Day of Prayer, I want you to know that you haven't missed anything. Mm-mm. You see, friend, praying is still allowed on May 3 and on May 4, and yes, right on down the line. The praying lines are still open today. The prayer party's still going on. Isn't that good news? And even though the big crowds, the millions, maybe prayed yesterday, you can be sure that Voice of Prophecy staff members and many Voice of Prophecy listeners pray 365 days a year. And so you're not praying alone even today. All this week we've been asserting and reasserting the good news that prayer works. For so many wonderful and biblical reasons, friends, prayer really does work. It works because the Bible says it does, in verses like our favorite, James 5:16. And also because the Bible is filled full of stories where people prayed for things, and you know, those exact things happened. Prayer works because we have a God who listens and a God who cares. We have a God who wants to answer. I can picture him as always leaning forward, waiting eagerly to hear the faintest whisper. He's like the father in the parable who always went out to the front gate and looked far down the road for any sign of his prodigal son. That's how eager God is to hear your prayer, friend, and then to provide an answer that's better for you than you dreamed. Christian believers in my own Adventist denomination love a little line that comes from one of our early manuscripts and a well-known writer named E.G. White. Here's what she had to say about prayer more than 100 years ago. It is a part of God's plan to grant us, in answer to the prayer of faith, that which he would not bestow did we not thus ask. I like that. In a recent national survey, it was discovered that more than 80% of those who pray know without any doubt that prayer worked for them. They'd experienced it. Maybe you've heard of some of the old missionary stories, you know, where a faithful servant of God needed a certain sum of money to return home, $177.50, let's say. And without dollar one in their pockets, but with a prayer in their heart, they'd tell the airline clerk, go ahead and write up the ticket. And then later that day, or sometime just 2 hours before they were to leave, with the enemy armies approaching the city, the mailman would deliver a special letter. And inside would be a check from a friend. I woke up this morning and just felt impressed that you needed some money. And guess how much? Of course, it would be exactly $177.50. And friend, I've heard many stories like that. Met the people they happened to. But now maybe you recall the old story told by Brother Andrew, the famous author of God's Smuggler, who experienced countless miracles smuggling Bibles behind the Iron Curtain into the communist countries of Eastern Europe. Well, many years earlier, he trained as a young ministerial intern, touring England and sharing Christ. One day they'd planned a party for the local young people, and they really had everything they needed except a cake. And of course, a tea time party in England with no cake was really no party at all. Well, Brother Andrew and his team of witnessers had sort of an in-house rule that they didn't beg or borrow or even hint for favors. So when someone asked them what they needed, it was pretty hard to keep the word cake from coming out. But they just smiled and said, well, everything's in God's hands. They prayed, but they didn't hint. Well, lo and behold, just minutes before the party was to begin, here came the postman with a very familiar shaped box. And very slowly and dramatically, knowing he could trust in God, Brother Andrew lifted the lid for everyone to see the delicious chocolate cake inside. Well, we could tell stories like these all day long today, and every day, till the year 2000, and not come close to running out. But as our extended week-long celebration of National Day of Prayer draws to a close, I'd like to add on two more points for you to consider. You know, friends, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in a movement where we pray for something national, and it gets kind of generic and almost a disconnected, vicarious experience. Lord, please bless our country. Well, that's a wonderful prayer, and we should say it. But what does that mean? Exactly what is it we would like God in heaven to do? And will we be just as supportive, just as prayerful, if God calls on us to sacrifice in order for him to answer our prayer? Now, that's quite a question, isn't it? The old story goes around about a preacher with a new, struggling congregation. And in his first sermon, he cried out, Lord, we're just taking our first steps. Help this congregation to crawl. And all the people shouted, let it crawl, Rev, let it crawl. And then he raised it up a notch and said, but then it's God's will for this church to stand up straight and tall and walk. And they all chanted, make it walk, Rev, make it walk. And now he began to get very inspired, and he told them, and then by the power of heaven, we're going to run like the wind. Wonderful. Amen. Make it run, Rev. Make it run. Now he got to the point he'd been leading up to. And in order for us to run, we're going to have to dig much deeper in our pockets and purses, and each one of us double what we're putting in the plate each week. And there was a long silence. Finally, from the back of the sanctuary, one man's voice was barely heard. Let it crawl, Rev. Let it crawl. Well, we smile. But friend, please don't miss the point. We pray for God to transform this nation. Are we willing for him to transform us? We cry to heaven about the sin in the streets and the pornography on television. Friend, are we then willing to surrender our viewing habits and our lifestyle choices to the plain teachings of the Bible? Think with me about the fact that a nation cannot turn to God. It can't. Only the people in that nation, one at a time, can do a U-turn, something called repentance, and begin heading back towards the kingdom of heaven. There's really no such thing as a Christian nation, even though we're glad for many of the Christian ideals that permeate our foundations and our laws and our charities and our government. But only the people in the country can truly be born-again, humble Christians. Listen to me, friend. Only the people in a nation can, quote, turn to God. Only the prayers can return to the roots of our founding fathers. The country can't. Only the people in that country can. Friend, that means you. And it means me. Oh, one more point as we close. And you'd expect this from the voice of prophecy. Friend, it's an admirable thing to pray for peace. And yet the Bible tells us there's not going to be peace. Now, it's good to pray with others about the issue of crime in the streets and the problems our kids face out there. And yet, friend, God's Word tells us that crimes and wars are going to get worse, not better. Unarguably, we should be out there in the public square affecting and infecting society with our holy lives and our prayers, even though the pages of Scripture clearly foretell tragedies and an explosion of sin instead that we can't comprehend. But here's my point. Despite the good accomplished by a national day of prayer, the only true solution for our nation, listen, friend, it's the soon coming of Jesus Christ. That's right. There are no other answers. It doesn't matter what Bill and Bob promise us in the presidential debates coming up. Politicians and human leaders are not going to be able to solve this world's problems. Mm-mm. Even our earnest prayers, our corporate prayers, friend, cannot solve things here. Now, by all means, we should keep praying. We should keep blessing the world around us, engaging society as the, quote, little platoons that Chuck Colson refers to. But through it all, we've got to keep looking up at the clouds for our Redeemer. Even when you're down on your knees, keep your gaze, friend, on the distant skies. And that, my friend, is the best thing to pray about.
It certainly is, Lonnie. Thank you so much. And friend, thank you for joining us. Remember that we'd like to send you a complimentary copy of our helpful book, Prayer on Target, compiled by Pastor George Vandeman and Steve Mosley. Let me repeat the address where you can write. The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for Prayer on Target. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. Again, 1-800-872-0055. And by the way, please remember to include the call letters of this station. Lonnie and I would like to invite you to be a part of a Christian church service this weekend where corporate prayer is happening. Then join us again Monday when we'll be sharing a brand new radio series entitled Bossing the Holy Spirit. Do Christians use the Holy Spirit, or does He use us? We'll look forward to visiting with you again then. Our scripts all this week have been written and produced by David Smith. Armando Cordero is our studio engineer. Until Monday then, this is Kenneth Richards speaking for Lonnie Milashenko, saying God loves you.
Sarah couldn't understand it. Her daughter-in-law had left her husband and their three children because they interfered with her career. How could a mother leave her children? Even animals don't abandon their own. Then again, Sarah told me, some women are like that. Her own mother used to tell her, "I wish you'd been an abortion." Can you imagine a mother telling her daughter, "I wish you had been an abortion"? Sarah went on to describe incident after incident of painful rejection in her life. And the bottom line for her was, "So where is God in all of this? Does He know what's been happening to me? Does He care? Does He?" I read to Sarah the words of a promise, God's promise, recorded by the prophet Isaiah. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Has your mother abandoned you? Has she closed her heart to you? Then claim God's promise as your own. Even if your mother forgets you, God won't. God hasn't. God loves you. You have a special place in His heart. You have His word for it. I will not forget you. For the Voice of Prophecy, this is John McLarty.